This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs with Dashun Johan and Lim Soo Ann. So earlier we were talking about the Sabah elections and, you know, how some of them, in some cases, in some constituencies, you know, the majority was only by 10 votes. So we were talking about the importance of every single vote and why you should go and register to vote if you haven't already. But now on to our second story, which we have a poll running on as well.
Right. So as you may know or may not know, I don't know, it's pretty new. DBKL has renamed Jalan Raja Laut Satu to Jalan Palestine. So we're asking you, do you know who Raja Laut was? So your options are yes and no. You can take that poll over on our Twitter page at BFM Radio. And right now, about 23% of y'all say yes, while 76 or 77% of y'all say no. So you can keep taking the poll at BFM Radio, or you can also send us your thoughts on WhatsApp 018-789-8899.
That's right. So over the weekend, the Federal Territories Ministry announced on its Facebook page that Jalan Raja Laut 1 in the Kuala Lumpur City Centre has been renamed as Jalan Palestine. So the post congratulated Kuala Lumpur City Hall or DBKL on the move and said that the change was symbolic of Malaysia's support for the freedom of Palestine from Israel. So DBKL also released a statement explaining that the proposal to create a Jalan Palestine in Kuala Lumpur was brought up during the annual Quds Day ceremony held at Dataran DBKL back in 2019. So for some background, Quds Day is an annual event held by many Muslim communities across the world to express support for the Palestinians.
That's right. However, ever since the news of this came out, many people have been both kind of confused and also critical of the change. For one, it seems like many Malaysians have misunderstood the news to mean that Jalan Raja Laut itself, which is the main road in KL that connects Jalan Raja to Jalan Sultan Ismail. So that's kind of, if you can picture it, where DBKL and the EPF buildings are, they were thinking that that has been renamed. So to be clear, it was Jalan Raja Laut 1 that had its name changed. And the road is a side road off the main, you know, off main Jalan Raja Laut. I know it sounds a bit confusing. And that runs next to the EPF headquarters in KL. So just to reiterate, the main Jalan Raja Laut does retain its name.
Yeah, so there also seems to be some kind of confusion or miscommunication even within the Federal Territories Ministry. So the officiating of the new road name was done by KL Mayor Dato' Nor Hisham Ahmad Dahlan. But late yesterday, Federal Territories Minister Tan Sri Anwar Musa also tweeted questioning the change of the name. So in his tweet, he said that, you know, he doesn't disagree with naming a road after the Palestinian cause, but questioned why a name from a Malay history had to be changed instead of one of the roads named after British colonial leaders.
Mm. But the other reason for the criticism has been the reason behind the change itself. So many people on social media questioned the relevance of having a road in Kuala Lumpur named after Palestine. And when there were, you know, communities much closer to home who deserved more attention. So others said that we shouldn't be concerning ourselves with problems in other countries when we have our own issues here. The post on the Federal Territories Ministry FB Facebook page as well as Twitter show a string of comments criticizing the change in name. And as of now, there has been no further response from DBKL.
So historically, you know, the changing of the names of roads or places within a country, they're usually a reflection of the politics and the government of the time. Hence, you know, why after our very own struggle for Merdeka, some of the road names around Kuala Lumpur were changed to honour local leaders. You know, for example, Jalan Tuanku Abdul Rahman after our first Yang Dipertuan Agong, or Brickfields that was renamed Jalan Tun Sambadan, or even Jalan Tun Tan Cheng Lok, which was originally Foch Avenue. In fact, a lot of the road names in Kuala Lumpur were renamed in 1981 due to a push by the then Prime Minister Tun Mahathir Mohamad to decolonize the capital. And so many roads with names of English origin were replaced by those honoring local historical figures and politicians instead.
So all of this, you know, did get us thinking about the significance of Raja Laut himself. You know, who was he? Why does he have a major road named after him in KL? And truth be told, no, we didn't know either, despite having driven on the road multiple times. So we decided to do a little research on Raja Laut.
So this is what we have found out, right? So Raja Laut was the second son of Sultan Muhammad Shah, the third Sultan of Selangor. He was born in 1850, and it is said that he was given the name Raja Laut because his mother gave birth to him while out at sea around Lukut in Negeri Sembilan. And perhaps most significant to KL history, Raja Laut was a penghulu and a magistrate in Kuala Lumpur as As Pengulu, he was responsible for resolving the issues of the Malay community in Kuala Lumpur at that time. And Raja Laut and his family lived in the Batu Road area, which is now Jalan Tuanku Abdul Rahman. And he passed away in 1913 while holding the title of Raja Muda Selangor.
Mm. But beyond this, you know, we really couldn't find much else on Raja Laut, although we did unearth a pretty stylish looking photograph of him online. So to give us more insight into both Raja Laut's significance as well as this whole issue of changing a road's name, we have on the line Faisal Abdul Rahman, who is the Deputy President of the International Council on Monuments and Sites, or ICOMOS Malaysia. Thank you for joining us, Faisal. So to start off with, could you tell us what is Raja Laut's significance to Kuala Lumpur or even Malaysian history?
Okay. Actually, I know little about Raja Laut was, and this I get mainly from what I read in books and blogs and from various sources, but which is actually not more than a few paragraphs, you know, and basically there's very little written about Raja Laut. But Raja Laut is quite significant to KL history because, number one, he's the cousin of Sultan Abdul Samad, the famous Sultan Abdul Samad, where that building in Datuk Merdeka is named after. He was also the Raja Muda of Selangor. Being Raja Muda, he's the second in line. Basically, if the Sultan passed away, Raja Muda takes over. So he was the Raja Muda of Selangor. He was the Penghulu of KL, Penghulu being the traditional chieftain of a particular district. Basically, it's the Malay traditional administration system. And he was the founding member of KL Sanitary Board, which is the precursor of GBKL. So, to me, I think he holds very important position in early days Kuala Lumpur. And yet, there's not much written about him except for that few paragraphs. Another significant point is that his land, his house, is actually at the site of Dataran Merdeka towards the church. You know, if you're familiar with Dataran Merdeka, mm-hmm. There is a church on the right-hand side. His property is actually there, somewhere there across the river where the KL is and the beginning of Batu Road or Jalan Tuanku Abdul Rahman. That is where his property was, and it's quite a large property. And the road there, in fact, until now, is called Jalan Raja, and a lot of people believe Jalan Raja is named after Raja Laut. So he was there, and he had a school in his property called the first Malay school, which is called the Jalan Raja Malay School, which is now Sekolah Hishamuddin, across the behind Negara. So I mean, he's quite significant in the history of KL, and yet people know very little about him. But anyway, currently the Jalan Raja Laut passes in front of DBKL building, which I think is apt because he was the founding member of the DBKL.
So as you said, it seems like, you know, there's relatively little that's widely known or even commemorated about Raja Laut. Why do you think that is?
Why something is commemorated or not commemorated actually depends on, basically, if you talk about history, it depends on written documents. And, you know, some people may be not so significant historically, but because they left diaries, their documents about him, and today we find out about him and we write history about him or her. But some people may be an important personality, but they don't write diaries, there's not much written document about him. So today, we don't have enough information about him, so it's very difficult for us to commemorate. I do a lot of cultural mapping for the purpose of cultural tourism. And quite recently, I started to do a lot of mapping of Kampung Baru. And the Kampung Baru cemetery is called the Jalan Ampang Cemetery behind Maya Hotel now. So it's a cemetery there, and that's one of the oldest cemetery in fact, it is the oldest surviving cemetery of Kuala Lumpur. And there is a lot of notable people there. People like Sultan Puasa and Raja Alang, they're there. And I read a newspaper article, it's a huge newspaper article from the archives that talks about the death of Raja Laut and he was buried there. So I've been there many, many times and going around and asking people around the kampung, and nobody seems to know where his grave is, which is, I think, to me, is quite unusual for somebody who is prominent in terms of position in government. And his burial was written extensively in the newspaper in 1913. And yet today, I cannot find where his grave. I mean, there are many graves, but there are some of them unkept and we've lost the tombstone and all that. But so to me, I think there's a need to actually research more about him.
That's right. And, you know, coming back to what sparked this conversation, what are your thoughts on Jalan Raja Laut Satu being changed to Jalan Palestine?
Anyway, I've seen many times in the course of Kuala Lumpur, in the history of Kuala Lumpur, that we change names. We don't change names of state every day. It's just that once in a while, and it's big hoo-ha when a particular road is changed to a particular name. And I think one of the largest one was a few years back, maybe about 5 or 6 years back, where we named a few major roads to the name of eight young Tuan Agong. And I think naming of roads is very important. For me, if I do cultural mapping to understand cultural character of a place, I usually start with the name of the place or the name of the road or the name of the street or the name of the building, because it gives some clue. The actual origin or the importance of the place. But of course, some roads are named by people in that community. Some roads are named after particular events. So to me, changing name is something which we need to think carefully, because it must reflect the cultural character of a place. Okay, number one, I read this changing of name, Jalan Raja Laut to Jalan Palestine. There's two different kind of arguments. Some people sort of like say, why Palestine? Why is Palestine so significant to us? Then we go into the subject of why something is significant. Because in the study of heritage significant, what is significant to me might not be significant to you. Give an example. Let's say my mother gives me a ring, and that ring was her wedding ring. To you, it's just a ring. But to me, it's very significant. So the same idea also goes to places and buildings. You know, a nice wooden mosque somewhere is significant to a particular community. But to another community that passes by, they just say, it's just a wooden mosque. When the word Palestine is used, it might have significance to a particular segment of Malaysians or Kuala Lumpur citizens, but not to others. You know, and why Palestine? I think I read it because it's to commemorate the struggle of Palestinians and all that. But if that was the reason, there are many other struggles that Malaysians support. The other thing is, the other aspect of the argument is on the road. Why is it that road? Why is it not another road?
Mm.
You see, I mean, there are many other roads in Kuala Lumpur. For example, I live in Jalan 5/76B, you know. Why can't some of this numbered road be named? But I think it doesn't affect the main Jalan Raja Laut, which is the main street. That's just one of the smaller roads of Jalan Raja Laut.
And what are some of the reasons why names of roads are changed over time? And how do these link to social and political changes?
If you look at the roads in KL, now we have thousands or hundreds of roads in KL, but originally we probably have only about 20 or 30 original roads in the middle of KL. And if you look at the naming of the older roads, you can see a pattern. You can see a pattern if you see some of the earlier roads of Kuala Lumpur are named after geographical features. You know, Jalan Petaling, Jalan Ampang, Jalan Tudu, Jalan Batu. They're named after a tree or a picture or a dam somewhere. So those are the original names. That's how people name roads. And then suddenly you come to a place where a lot of roads are named after British officers that work in Malaya. You know, they work for the government, the British government, and they work here. And they get names like Swettenham and Venning and Maxwell and all that. So they're named after British officers. And then that place that phase of naming it after officer is gone. We have another naming, which is named after the empire. You know, people who live in England who have never come to Malaysia, but named after him because they are famous, like Mountbatten and Edinburgh and all that. These are named after the empire. And then we come to the later period where we get names trying to reflect Kuala Lumpur as the federal capital. Names like Jalan Kuching, Jalan Kinabalu, Jalan Kemunting, Jalan Taiping, Jalan Sitiawan, Jalan, you know, all this road trying to link different parts of Malaysia in Kuala Lumpur. Then I think something around the 70s or the early 80s, the Malay nationalism movement started to grow, and we started to rename things after historical, very old history figure like Hang Tuah and Hang Jebat and Muhammad Ru and Dam Wangi and all that. And then we have now roads being named after Agong and all that. So naming of roads itself in Kuala Lumpur is not just one exercise, but it went through, you can tell the history of Kuala Lumpur by the naming and the renaming of road, because it reflects a particular political situation, a social situation at this particular time, I think.
Mm. And so do you think roads that were named after historical figures should be changed over time? Why or why not?
Well, you talk about history. Yeah? History is what we write down. Depends on which side of the history are you from. You know, in the earlier history book, some people may be seen as a hero, but later part, is seen as not so much a hero. You know, it's just like Palestine and Israel. If you were Israeli, you would probably write your history from your point of view. If you're from Palestine, you write from your point of view. So it's difficult to say who is actually a historical figure. This is something which is evolving. Malaysia is living, it's evolving. Our political view and our social structure change over time. And the way we look back at our history will change, you know, will change. And what's significant in one period of time may be less significant in another period of time. And we'll keep on changing our names of places and all that. And it's, for me, it's not so important about the name of the road. It's the story, the layers of story, you know, from Java Street becomes Mountbatten Street, becomes Jalan Tuan Perak. It went to key name change. Because the key name change represents key political situation at different times. It reflects the change of Malaysia. The name changing itself is a story that you can talk about. You know, why something is named like that. Why was it Jalan Geni? After Jalan Geni, it's called Jalan Semara. After Jalan Semara, it's called Jalan, I think it's called Jalan Yaya Petra. The changes itself is a story and needs to be recorded, you know. I mean, sometimes change, we cannot stop changes, but it's good that we understand the different layers, different story behind the change. Yeah.
Thank you, Faisal. That was Faisal Abdul Rahman, the Deputy President of International Council on Monuments and Sites, or ICOMOS Malaysia.
Yeah. So earlier today, we have a poll currently running on Twitter, and we are asking you, do you know who Raja Laut was? So your options are yes or no. Currently, 22% of you say yes, while 78% of y'all say no. And we've also got some interesting comments. So let's get the trolls out of the way first. So it's pretty funny. John Chong and Eric J says Aquaman and Aquaman's father, you know, because Raja Laut. Okay, that's
terrible joke, guys. Terrible.
But we got one something here that's pretty interesting. He says even if we don't know at least in our related history or an important person before, but Palestine has nothing to do with our country except they've been oppressed by another country, which is very bad. But to name a road in our country, which is he says it's unrelated to what we are going through, our history, and also like he suggests that we can name other heroes of our nation instead. And in a total opposite to that, at General Baba says, Raja what? Palestine more important in the current days.
That's right. I guess, you know, it's interesting, right? Some people don't see the harm in it because it is Jalan Raja Laut still there. It's just Jalan Raja Laut 1 that is no longer there. And I guess, and also, if you want to talk about the Palestinian conflict, there are other ways to do it. And perhaps those who did it thought that this was a very significant sort of way to do it. I'm not sure. But to also not talk about the conflict, I don't think that's fair either. You know, we can't just look at, you know, stuff that's happening in our backyard, right? We do need to talk about global issues as well. Personally, though, I don't know how I don't feel that this is a way to highlight the issue. Yeah, I think that it's more like a very big gesture with a very little impact.
Actually. That's right.
I don't know, whereas when it comes to historical figures, it's just sort of, even if you're not actively thinking about it, you sort of can get some kind of context, you know, why it's named. Okay, even if you don't know anything about our history or like, I mean, all of us, we admitted that we're not familiar with Raja Laut, right? But when we see the name, we can sort of gauge like, okay, he must be something important in our past. He must be someone important in the past. But whereas when you just drive past, let's say, Jalan Palestine, what are we supposed to make of that? You know, because without context, it really means nothing.
And this is something that really you want deeper discussions into it, right? You want the people to talk about the issues. You want to know, I mean, if a gesture like this, like you said, Juliet, it feels very grand, but with no, it feels like there's no substance to it because it's just a name. It's just changing the name of a small road. You know, are there any bigger, are there, for example, talks that are happening about it? Are there policy changes, for example? And I think that's what needs to happen alongside, right? Versus like what you said, Dash, you know, naming it after historical figures, even if, and especially I think nowadays with so many people liking to do walking tours, right? It could be a wonderful opportunity for us to highlight local figures who may not be as famous, but it's an opportunity for historians to tell the people more about who these people are, for people to take this opportunity to learn more about people that we should actually care about, that people are people that we might not have learned from our history books.
Yeah, because whatever is going on with Palestine, the whole Israel-Palestine conflict and all, it's a very nuanced, it's a very complex layered situation that's been going on for years and years and years. So if we want to shed some light on it, which I think it's important for everyone to, you know, equip ourselves with this sort of world issues, knowledge and all that, but I think it has to be deeper because if you're just, there's just a street name, I don't really know what it accomplishes.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've spoken to many Palestinian activists or those fighting for, you know, freedom in Palestine. And, you know, some movements that are a bit more, you know, that a bit more tangible, I suppose, is like the BDS movement, right? The boycott, divestment and sanctions movement, where you stop buying things from Israel. You stop supporting brands that is linked to, you know, the Israeli occupation. And, you know, that's where it really hits them hard economically. You know, I mean, the Israel government even created a whole, a section in their government to fight this movement. That's something that really made an impact. You know, these are the things that we can do. And I guess, you know, doing more campaigns, more awareness campaigns about such movements, that might have been a better, I don't know, I think a better move to bring more awareness rather than just this very sort of name change, which doesn't bring anything. But, you know, just speaking of road names, I mean, at least one thing that was good, we learned who Jalan Raja Laut was. And, everyone who took our poll now hopefully knows all those all those people who said no also do find it interesting as well. Do you, you know, when you sometimes drive by roads and see these names that you don't quite understand or you don't quite know anything about them, have you ever tried to sort of look it up and find out who they were?
I must admit, I haven't.
Yeah.
Terrible children.
Because I think this was when I was a kid, when I'm going on family vacations, for example, and then we pass by one of these roads, let's say Jalan Hang Tuah, for example, then my parents would be like, hey, you know why it's called this? And then they would like tell me, give me a bit of backstory and all. But I think now, I mean, when I drive myself, I'm never thinking about it. I'm just like, Jalan Raja Laut is this, admittedly, to me, it has the same weight as S2. You know, it's a thing. It's a road, and I want to get there. But But I think I should, you know, I think I should be, you know, pay more attention and find out more about these things.
We have to like dig back up that curiosity we had as kids.
So I know that, you know, a few years ago for Federal Territories Day special, we actually interviewed the great-granddaughter of K. Tambu Samipile. And, you know, he has a road named after him as well. And it was fascinating. You know, we found out more about who he was. He was a philanthropist. He was a businessman. You know, he actually helped set up Batu Caves, the Batu Caves temple and everything. And we had no idea. And luckily, you know, through people from Icomos and all of that, we got in touch with the great-granddaughter and we found out the history. And I just really think that something, especially now with the internet, you know, we can just search for anything. And it's a good way to teach our kids, or just to teach ourselves, really, about the history of Malaysia as well. Yeah, so, you know, if you have any thoughts, you can continue to share those with us. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. That's all the time we have for today's show. But you can look us up on Facebook. Just search for BFM The Bigger Picture if you'd like to drop us a message. And if you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcasts at bfm.my/dailydigest. You can search for us on the BFM app and also on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m., I'll be sticking around and I'll be speaking to Dr. K. Kalitasan, who is the manager of the River Care Program at the Global Environment Center. It was World Rivers Day yesterday, so we're going to take a look at the rivers in Malaysia. And, you know, I'm sure both of you remember what happened with Sungai Gong. So we're going to be talking about all these different issues and what we can do from a community level. So that's coming up after the 3 p.m. news. For now, here's the Beatles with There's a Place. This has been the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.